And here's an idea for Amateur Blazer. Okay, you got a Haggadah? Let me see, what do you got? Let me see your Haggadah. The Hasidic Haggadah. Okay, good. Okay, so here's an idea. I find this idea very interesting. This idea came across. I'm using primarily what I'm saying tonight a lot from this new Haggadah, brand new Haggadah, Rabbi Belsky. Okay, I learned in Torah Das by Rabbi Belsky. I had a nice, very nice relationship with Rabbi Belsky. And it's a chaval, I didn't know him before. Got to know him a little bit later, but he was a genius. He was just, you know, a genius. I don't think I ever met a person like that. I mean, obviously a very great Talmid Chacham, but he had a mind that was just wide open. And this Haggadah, it's an interesting Haggadah. It's not a Haggadah. They go, you know, they don't even have the Nusach. They don't even have the text. It's really called Pesach with Rabbi Belsky. It appears to be basically a transcript. I mean, it was of a shiurim. Like, I guess a lot of things were recorded, and they took everything that he ever recorded. One of his talmidim. I know him. He's in the Move to Eretz Yisrael. They don't even have his name on it over here. Strange. Okay, it's strange. Bramowitz. His name is not on the cover. That's really strange. Compiled by Rabbi David Abramowitz. Okay, I know of David Abramowitz. He's someone in my league, and he compiled. He was very, very close to Rabbi Belsky. Very, very close.
Rabbi, this Haggadah here, says Haggadah has 1820 words.
1820 words.
Yeah, the same like Musa for Rosh Hashanah.
Right. And what else?
And the same number of name of Hashem.
In Tanakh. Excellent. And what else?
There's another thing.
1,820. I'll tell you later. That's a very popular 1,820. Let me tell you what else there is. I have all the numbers here. It's 1,820. Okay. Oh, there's more things here. What are the more things? How many words are there in Tanakh where Yaakov Avinu speaks to Rachel and Leah? Count up every pasuk in Chumash when Yaakov Avinu is speaking to Rachel and Leah. It's exactly 1,820 words. Another 1,000, it's an amazing thing. It's not a coincidence. How many words are Yaakov's 12 children do they speak? The Shiftei Koh. In Bereshis, you find that Yehuda says something. You find that Yosef says something. Binyamin says something. Count up the number of words that the Shiftei Koh speak is exactly 1,820. So Musaf Rosh Hashanah, Yaakov speaking to Rachel and Leah, the Shiftei Koh, Hashem's name in Tanakh, and the words of the Haggadah starting from Holach Ma'anya, until Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael, until it's not a precise, you know, you're clipping in the Haggadah certain parts of the Haggadah, so it's a very fascinating phenomenon. What is the significance of this number 1,820? I don't know. It's something very interesting. What is the significance? 1080, isn't that number is significant? You have to find the significance. Well, I'm sorry, 1,820. I don't know. It's interesting to figure out what is the significance. Alright, anyway, this Haggadah is very generous. I want to share some things with that. And everything I'm telling you is here. I'm using this Haggadah as a springboard for some ideas that some of them are original, some are not. I'll tell you what Rabelsky says exactly, but he makes a point here that Kol Hamarbe L'Saper B'Yitzias Mitzrayim Harezeh M'Shuluch. He's saying in the Haggadah, Ma'is Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Eliezer, Azariah. Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon, Shayim Musub, Ibn Ibrak. Poyim Misaprim, Beitzias Mitzrayim, Kol Oysa Halaylo. Okay, they were talking in the Yitzias Mitzrayim the entire night. Ad Shabbo tell me they am. We amru lohem rabbeinu higiyas man kriyashma shel shachas. Now, by the way, there's a very big machlekes when they were talking about Yitzias Mitzrayim the entire night. Was this the night of Pesach? It doesn't say anywhere in this story that the conversation they had took place on the night of Pesach. It can very well be that this maisa where they were talking the whole night and learning, it was tam. It was the middle of the winter. It was the middle of the summer. It just somehow the sugya that they were involved in happened to be about Yitzias Mitzrayim. It doesn't say anywhere in this story that the conversation of Yitzias Mitzrayim was taking place on Leil Pesach. Stam, they were just talking and learning the entire night, and the Talmidim says, Rabbi Sai, it's time for Kriya Shoshal Shabbos. Okay, but over here, it mentions that it's alluding that they were fulfilling, at least what we do on Pesach, is Chayavadim L'Saper B'Yitzias Mitzrayim Kol Oysalayla. Now the truth is, there are different gears where this comes from, and there's another gears, so the gears of the Rosh, in the back of the Gemara, and the Rosh says the correct girsa is here it is. Okay, it says here.
What tab is it on?
I'm looking. Give me one moment. It's very important to know the source. Okay. The Haggadah instructs to respond to the Chacham with the words. As he goes down the error. Okay. B'nei Brak. The standard text of the God is that the Tanaim B'nei Brak. Alright, this case. The Steno. Okay, this is not a Gemara. Let me. Mr. Rapport, I made a mistake. It's not a Gemara. It's the Haggadah. Okay. Baruch Hashem in the Haggadah. Hoyu Misaprin Biyitzias Mitzrayim Kol Oysa Halayla. Okay, that's our Nusach. Hoyu Misaprin. Okay, Mr. Rapport, it's not a Gemara. It's the text of the Haggadah. Our Nusach in our Haggadah, the one that I have in front of me, says, Hoyu Misaprin Biyitzias Mitzrayim Kol Oysa Halayla. Now, the Rosh has a different gears. His girsa is Hayu Misaprim Behilchois HaPesach Kol Oisai Halayla. Okay, who wrote the Haggadah, by the way? Eliyahu HaNavi. No one really knows. It's not so clear who wrote the Haggadah. Some say Eliyahu HaNavi wrote the Haggadah. Some say the Goinim wrote it. The Rabbanan Tzavaroi wrote it. Okay, but our nusach and the standard nusach of the Haggadah, it says we misaprim biyitzias mitzrayim kol oisa halayla. However, in these other girsos, you know, if you have the Masifta, they did a phenomenal job. You know, there's a publication called Masifta, the Gemara, the Hebrew, it's like a Hebrew article Gemara. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal work, so they have many other things they put out. Besides the Gemaras, many, many other works, and they put out a Haggadah a couple of years ago. It's a phenomenal Haggadah. It's an unbelievable. One of the incredible things they did in the Haggadah was they had a Shinui Nuschois. They probably pulled out off the shelf every Haggadah in the world. I'm talking about authentic Haggadahs, old Haggadahs from, you know, back, and they compared the Girsa, the Nusach. And they have a whole section, a small section. That section alone is worth the whole price of this Haggadah, of showing you all of the different nuschois, and there are many of them, as to, you know, the precise nusach of the Haggadah, the Rosh, going back way, way back. His gear so also yom saprim behilchois Pesach kol oisa halayim. Now here's the chiddush. Here's what. So what would you say? What would you, when you look at these two different girsois, what do you make out of it? Okay, it doesn't really matter. On the night of Pesach, you can talk about B'Yitzias Mitzrayim. Is more, you know, topical, hashkafa, historical, the miracles, the greatness of Hashem. Or halacha, hayu misaprim b'hilchos ha-Pesach kol oisa halayim. It's like you go to a shir. What do you want to hear a shir in? You want to hear a shir in drush, or you want to hear a shir in halacha? You want to go to Shul? What kind of Shul? You want to hear a Daf Yomi Shir? You want to go learn Shulchan Aruch? You want to go to Divrei Agada, or you want to learn Hilchas Brachas? There are halachic shiurim, and there are shiurim that talk about, I don't say machshava, but more like chumash. Chumash, a shiur in chumash is not a shiur in halacha. It's not a shiur in halacha. You're not going to come, you're not going to learn a chumash Rashi and Unkelis and come away with halacha. That's not the goal. You want to learn halacha, you learn Shulchan Aruch. You learn Mishneh Berurah. You learn the Aruch HaShulchan. Okay, obviously everything is rooted in Chumash, everything comes back, but this Mishnayis, this Tarsha Oled, v'chulu. So there's a machlokes, what exactly were they learning the entire night? Were they learning the entire night Hilchas Pesach? Were they learning about Mesap and B'Yitzias Mitzrayim? But there's a very big question I want to ask you, and that is, according to the Gears of the Rosh, why does it say they were Mesaper in Hilchas Pesach? It should say how you learned in, they were learning, or how you or darshim, they were being doyresh Hilchos Pesach. The word misaprim is not the right word for halacha. When you're dealing with machshava, drush, then the correct word is how you misaprim. How you misaprim, you can see us, we want to go talk about what happened, the ten makos, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, conversation Moshe had with Paro, all of the events that led up to it, then the correct term is indeed Misaprim. But if you're talking about Halacha, the word Sipur is not the correct word. It's not the correct, you mean Misaprim. So Rabbi Belsky, Zecha Tzadik Livracha, he says in the following Yesoid, he says something very interesting, he says, that the truth is, in halacha itself, every halacha can also be understood as a moral teaching. The fact that the Torah told us only to eat kosher animals that have two simonim, mafreses parsa, and malas gera, it regurgitates its food and it has split hooves, that's the halacha. But in that halacha, there's Musr in that halacha. Okay, so according to the Gears of the Rosh is saying something very profound. It doesn't just say that they were talking, they were being doyresh in halacha, they were being mesaper in halacha. They were taking the halacha and using it as a springboard to uncover Musr, hashkafa. That's a tremendous chiddush. Why is that a tremendous chiddush? Because if you go back to the earliest records of Torah she'bal peh that is put in writing, is a clear divide between halacha and agada. Okay, there's the Medrash Rabbah, that's Divrei Agada, and parallel to the Medrash Rabbah, there's the Mechilta, the Sifra, and the Sifrei. What's the chiluk? The Mechilta, Sifra, and Sifrei is pure halacha. Pure, unadulterated halacha. The Medrash Rabbah, which was written at the same time, is pure agada. And there's no mix. Completely different worlds. The Medrash Rabbah takes every pasuk from beginning to end and analyzes it and quotes other psukim and makes out of the Torah, sermonics. It produces not Musar, Hashkafa. And the Mechilta, there's no Agada in the Mechilta. I mean, there is a little bit, incidentally, but there are klal, the Mechilta and the Sifrei is pure, dry drushes. It says this word here, what does it mean? Analysis of all the words and letters and the Pas Psukim and the Tar Shebal Peh to reach a halachic conclusion. And the impression you get is you don't mix the two. It's almost toxic to mix halacha with agada. Halacha is halacha, agada is agada. In this generation, I heard from Simcha Soloveitchik. Now he moved to Monte, and I don't see him anymore. Call him once in a while. But he told me once that in this generation there was one person that used to mix the two together, and I didn't even realize how true it is, and that was Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik from Yeshiva University, Boston. Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, he had a niche that no one else did. He did exactly this. He mingled the two. He took a Rambam, a Halacha, besides his goyness in Halacha, but he would take Halacha and he would use Halacha as a springboard for Inyanei Machshava. And you don't find that too often, if at all. And question is, why not? So you would think it's because, you know, some of the Rosh Yeshivas, it's just not their thing. It's just not their thing. Like I tell you, I used to go, still go now, it's on a break until after Pesach, to a Shir Mitzvah Shabbos. And they would invite to the Shir, they still do this, the Shir is still going on now, Rabbi Synonym Shul on Avenue K in East 29th Street. And they try to get, it's much harder now because we live in a different world today, try to get the biggest Talmidei Chachamim to come down and give a Lamdish Shir on the current Daf Yomi Sugis. And then, I didn't know the reason until very recently, at the end of the Shir, after they say very heavy Lamdis, they're asked to say Machshava for 10 minutes. Silva Avart. So I always wonder why. You know, you don't need them to come to say Avart in the Parsha. That's why you bring them down. It's a very great effort to bring down these very big Talmidei Chachamim, these heavyweights, you know, the big Rashi Yeshivas. When you need them to come and tell you Avar in the Parsha, the purpose over here is they should come and they should say an extremely complicated lumdis on the Daf Yomi. So I found that very recently, the reason why the person who runs the Shir asked them to say 10 minutes on the Parsha, because very often they say such heavy things that many people who come don't understand a word they said, and press and company included. They can say such heavy lumdish of Torah, I don't understand one word you're talking about. So he feels bad that he gets people to come, the audience, they come and they walk out with nothing. No one with nothing. You don't see nothing, you know, they come, it's an experience, you know, you get to see these people. Who are these people? Who are these big people? These Talmidei Chacham. There's what to learn just watching them, just to see who these people are. But you would like they should walk away with a Vart. So Bishlam, if they said you understand the Shir, you're learning the Sechti Yavamis, and they're talking about the Tzoras Achoy Ziku Kosei, and all the Tifalandis of Eisha Sach, Memkoy Mitzra, Eisha Sach, Shlomemkoy Mitzra, and these very esoteric things. Very good. Sometimes people don't understand one word they're saying. So it's a shame they should go home without anything. So you know what? Do them a favor. Just in case they don't understand a word that you said, say a Vart on the Parsha. They should walk away with a good Vart. So I always noticed, Baruch Hashem, we're going through the Shir for a number of years, and it always baffled me, always, how there are some Rashi Yeshivas can say the most brilliant ideas in halacha, on lomdis, creative concepts in the world of halacha. But when it gets that last 10 minutes and they say Alvar on the parasha, it's a disaster. I don't mean it like that. Chas v'shalom. I take that back, strike that from the record. But it's not their thing. It's just not their niche. And then there are certain people who really, their heart and soul is in the world of Agoda. And they're not really, they don't really enjoy so much the heavy-duty lamdas. So you know what they do? They cheat some. There's one particular guy who's probably from the biggest Balei Machshava of our generation. And he loves that Machshava. Lamdas is a very big Talmud Chacham. There's a lot of nice things. I don't want to say Lashon Hara now. I'm going to tell you, so I don't want to say.
Not Lashon Hara, it's Lashon Tov.
But this fellow, he cheats. He says the Lamdas very quickly, in 20 minutes, and then he spends 40 minutes telling you a Divrei Agoda. Hey, that's not the Shir. The Shir is 45, 50 minutes in Lamdas and only 10 minutes in Agoda. You're cheating. Because his heart and soul is in the Divrei Agad. And that's where he excels. So, and I always found it very, very interesting that it's extremely rare to find a five-star Talmud Chacham that is a Sholem in both Agada and Halacha. It's a different brain. You wire differently to be an inspirational speaker and present Tifa, you know, to present, you know, Machshava, homilies, drush. And Lundis is a different game. It's a whole different game. It always baffled me this, how it's one or the other, but it's not both. There are people, I shouldn't say that, it's not nice to say, you know, they're not preparing, maybe they're just not focusing on that, because that's not what they're told to do. That's the main thing is to talk on the Daf Yomi. This is an afterthought to say a Varn the Parasha. Okay, so it's an afterthought. I'm not being fair. So I want to point is that, you know, I want to just make this observation. This Varn, this is my Belska Gada, it reminded me of this whole story. We once went through this whole thing, I'm telling you right now, and other times. But you have to appreciate that in the earliest time of when Torah Shebal Peh was put into writing, Chazal did not mingle the two. They wrote, they composed Medrash Rabbah, five volumes, and Le'um Hazeh they composed Mechilta, Sifra, and Sifrei. And there's more. That's just one, you know, they were different yeshivas, Nahardah, and there was Pura, Sura Pumbedisa. Okay, they were different schools. But yet in all of the schools, Hayluchud v'Hayluchud, there's no mingling. When you go back to the earliest times, you're going to find a work, you're going to find either it's going to be Divrei Agada, or it's going to be Divrei Halacha, you have the Tanchuma. Tanchuma is Divrei Agada. There are other different, I don't remember all the details, there are other different from one day we have to go all the different, you know, the early writings of Chazal. This predated the Talmud Bavli. The Talmud Bavli and the Talmud Yerushalmi was much later. They drew, everything in the Bavli has been drawn from the Mechilta, the Sifra, the Sifrei, and the Midrashim. The Bavli is much later. The Mechilta, Sifra, and Sifrei, they're very terse. It's very uncomfortable to learn. It's a very raw limud. It's very uncomfortable to learn these from. They're very, very makatzer. The Medrash Rabbah is also not so easy. You don't find people giving shiurim on Medrash Rabbah. Our school did a phenomenal, phenomenal work. They translated, they elucidated Medrash Rabbah. I mean, it's beyond belief what they did at Art School. It really is. I mean, Medrash Rabbah, what they did at Medrash Rabbah is just not to be believed what they did, what they did for the Yerushalmi also. But you go back to the earliest times, Hayluchud v'Hayluchud. Fast forward 2,000 years later, here we are today. Today, you look around in this world at the Gedolei Yisrael, it's one or the other. You know, it's one or the other. You're gonna pick up a sefer in the store, it's gonna be Divrei Agada, or it's gonna be Divrei Halacha. To have one mechaber, a mind that can do both at the same time. Now, and I'm talking about both at the same time, but the source material doesn't overlap. That's very weird. To go and take Divrei Halacha and use the Divrei Halacha itself as material, source material, for Divrei Agada, that's already a new level. It's one thing to have a mind that's able to darshan, to give you a shir. You'll attract 1,000 people to come to a shir when you give a shir on Medrash Rabbah. And you'll attract 1,000 people when you give a shir on the Rambam. That's a feat. To go take the Rambam and use the Rambam as your source material to give a shir on Machshava, that's a whole different level. So Simcha Soloveitchik, you, Mr. Rabbi, you gave me five volumes. You gave me a gift, five volumes of the Rav. The Rav's Torah on Chamisha Chumshei Torah, and you also gave me Megillas Esther as well. Did you give me Haggadah? Did they have a Haggadah from the Rav? I don't think so. They have from Rav Herschel Schachter. Rav Herschel Schachter.
I gave you one from
Rav Herschel Schachter.
Sachs,
right? No, that's Sachs. Recent. That's this year. But you gave me also from Rav Herschel Schachter. You gave me. No, but not Rav Salman, Rav Herschel Schachter, his own. Rav Herschel Schachter's on the Haggadah. And then there are five volumes on Rav Yosher Ber on Chamisha Chumshei Torah. And there's a Rav Yosher Ber on Megillas Esther. On Megillas Esther.
What I always found amazing, number one, the people that were selected, I know they have commentaries, the Gedolim of that time, Rav Akiva, Rav Elizabeth Azariah, Rav Taufan, etc., that they got together and they were able to do it. I mean, you didn't see, like you talked, Rabbi Levine, you talked about you're going to a shir and some one gadol is giving it. Here they were all gedolim. You didn't see common people or talmidim alone coming, right? Until they were told time of Kriya Shma has come. That means they themselves, it seems, were not part of that inner group participating, or Kiva said.
That's what it would seem. Correct. That's what it would seem.
Yes, I was surprised myself that, you know, they didn't invite the Talmidim in. Maybe there wasn't enough room. Maybe they had to do it in secret because they were the Romans and the Romans would be suspicious. I don't know, but I always found that interesting that only those top Talmidim. It's like, you know, like the Rosh Hashivas today would get together. The rabbi of Torah Vadas, or Rabbi Lichtenstein, or other yeshivas would get together, Torah Tamima, etc., and they would get together themselves. Today everything's over, we're going to give it over to the label. So like right now, the Rabbi Lichtenstein has, the Torah Vadas put out, you can listen to a shiur. I always found that fascinating.
It's true, they're amongst themselves. So over here, to me is utterly shocking because Rabbi Elsker over here is making a very fascinating point. I don't even remember, and he says, it's in the rush. You're going back over here more than 1,000 years, and he's saying in different girsa that he has a different girsa in the Haggadah. In the Maisa, they were sitting together. Vayu misaprim behilchois Pesach kol oisalayla. That expression is explosive. Because the word Sipur is a word that belongs in Medrash Rabbah. Hilchos Pesach belongs in the Mechilta. And what were they doing at night? They were synthesizing Agoda with Halacha. That is an explosive thing. You don't have that. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. When Chazal began to write down Torah Shel Bal Peh, it's either going to be Medrash Rabbah or it's going to be Mechilta Sifra Sifrei. They don't mix. You don't mix. Bizman Hazeh, for generations, there's no mixing. And in fact, it's very noticeable, it's very interesting that you don't have, for the last 1,000 years, you really don't have, I mean, I can tell you, you don't have at all, where people do that. You don't find in the Svarim, there are people who take halacha and use a halacha as a springboard to teach you machshava. It's not in all of the classic svarim. In the Hasidic svarim, it's all in yoni machshava, kabbalah, hecher and yoni. And in the Litvish world, the gra and the noisei kelim and the shulchan aruch, it's pure halacha. You don't find people going and taking halacha and using halacha as a springboard. The intricacies of halacha, the different dinim in the halacha. Oh, this is a gilui in hashkafa. You don't have that. And obviously, the reason why you don't is because they took a lesson from the kadmonim, their predecessors, who bedavka went out of their way to write separate books and not mingle the two. It's shatnez. In this generation, Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik, you don't find people bechlal. Today you don't people have the talent to do that. The notable exception of Simcha Soloveitchik, he told me, was Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik. He loved to do this. He loved to mix the two. He loved to take a halacha and analyze the halacha a Rambam and use the Rambam to bring out principles in Hashkafa. That's a novelty that, first of all, not everyone agrees you should even do. Not everyone is very kind that this is a proper derech. And even if you hold it as a proper derech, you have to be very careful. This is not something you play around with. You're playing around with very great danger to be skilled in doing it in a way that doesn't damage the halacha and doesn't damage the hashkafa. Yet, here's the big yet, the big underline in bold and red letters. Look at what the Rosh says. Our gears and our Haggadah is that they were sitting together, all these Talmidei Chachamim, v'hayu misaprim b'yitzias Mitzrayim kol oisa halayla. So what does that mean in our vernacular? They were sitting with the Medrash Rabbah. They opened up the Medrash Rabbah. And they were darshaning. They were talking about Yitzias Mitzrayim, about the 10 Makos, about Paro and Moshe and Bnei Yisrael. V'lo yechratz kelev l'shoinai. And talking about Kriyas Yamsuf. Along comes the Rosh, who has a different girsa, and says, Hayu misaprim behilchos Pesach. If the Rosh would say Hayu Darshim, which means halachic exegesis, halachic Jewish, or Hayu Lindim, or Hayu Mefalpim, I don't know, there are many different words which fit into the word of halacha, okay. Gesundheit, he has a different girsa. He learns that instead of they were sitting around the table and learning Medrash Rabbah, they were sitting around the table and they were learning Mechilta. They were learning the Sifra and the Sifrei. But yet the gears of the Rosh is explosive. He says the word misaprim. Misaprim does not go together with hilchos. Shatnes. You can't put those two words together. And yet he does. And that opens up a whole new world in the Pesach Seder. The Pesach Seder opens up with this Maisa. This is the very beginning of the Pesach Seder. It's shocking, the Gears of the Rosh. The Gears of the Rosh is saying is, the goal tonight is something very different you don't have any other time of the year. It's where you'd learn the halachas, and from the halacha, extract a agadic, a principle in the hashkafa of how an Orthodox Jew relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and lives his life. That's all. This is a unique a Rishon to say something like this. A Rishon. There are no Rishonim that talk like this. No way. And even today there are people that don't like this. There are people that can't do it. Most people can't even do it. But even those that can do it, they hold this is not the way you learn. You learn halacha, wonderful. And you learn agada, because that's the Messiah. There's a Medrash Rabbah on one side of the base Medrash, and there is the Mechilta on the other side of the base Medrash. Don't mix the two. That's not what we do. Obviously, not everyone agrees. Rav Yoshe Ben Soloveitchik, he held Punfak out. Adrava, do something different. You can do it. What's so terrible to mix the two together? Not everyone holds this is the derech of learning. But look at the Rosh. The Rosh says something that's very uncharacteristic of what we find in the time of Chazal. Because in the time of Chazal, you don't find it. You don't find Rishonim doing this. You don't find in the Achronim, you don't find this. And the Girsa is in a shocking thing. They were misaper in Halacha. Those words don't go together. Unless they're doing something unique by taking a Dvar Halacha and using it as a springboard for Hashkaf. Okay, I'll tell you another quick vart. Very quickly from my Belsky, this is a little bit of a trigger. This is, we want to talk about Girsois. There's another very interesting Girsa. Now, this is Girsa, this is Halacha, the words Chayiv Adam. This is not in the Haggadah, this is in Chazal. I don't know, Mr. Rapper, I don't know where the Gemara is. I have to find you the source. I don't have it offhand in the moment. But Chazal's Nusach is Chayiv Adam Lissaper. I'm sorry, Chayiv Adam Lirois Es Atzmai Ki Iluhu Yotza Mimitrayim. A person has to see himself as if he left Egypt. Now, everyone knows this, that the Rambam had a different gear, so even though that's what it says in the Gemara, the Rambam had a different gear, so before we spoke about a different gear from the Rosh. But the Rambam had a different gear, so for this man, the Chazal, he's Chayv Adam Leharois Es Atzmai. Ki'ilu hu yotza min Mitzrayim. What is the difference between Lirois Es Atzmai and Leharois Es Atzmai? What's the difference? Lirois means you have to look at yourself. Lirois means to look. Laharois means to display. Make yourself be seen. Display yourself as an individual who has left Egypt tonight. You have to present yourself to others. Isn't that what it means? Laharois means to demonstrate. Who are you demonstrating for? You're demonstrating for someone else. There's a very fine difference between the expression lirois es atzmo. Lirois means to see yourself versus leharois es atzmo. To present, to make yourself be seen as one who left Egypt. What is a nafkamina? The nafkamina is who's looking. If you say liros, you're looking at yourself. Liros, look at yourself. Make believe you left Egypt. Laharois, it's different. Present yourself to another person as one who has left Egypt right now. And what? Now I want to explain. Why am I telling this to you? Because we have in the Haggadah four questions. What are the four questions? The first question relates to chametz u'matzah. Matzah. The second question relates to what? Tomorrow. Okay? So one question is matz. One question is mor. What are the next two questions? Dipping. To dip. Why are we dipping? What's the dipping happening? Normally we dip only once. Tonight we're dipping twice. The karpas in the salt water. And the mor in the chalaisis. What's the next question? Why are we doing a seba? What's this? Kulanu mesubin. What's this all about? The Hesseba. Okay, four questions. Shabachol leilos erinu matbilin afilu pam echos halayla ze shtei pamim. Shabachol leilos anoichlin ben yoyishimin mesubin halayla ze kulanu mesubin. Four questions. Okay, question now. What are the answers? When do you finally give an answer to your children? So the Rabbi Dolsky explains, the whole Haggadah is basically an intro, until Pesach, Rabbi Gamliel, Oymer, Kol Mishloi, Amar, Shloi, Shodvar, Mil, Pesach, Lo, Yotzei, Dechoy, Vase. Pesach, Matzah, Mar. The words, Pesach, Matzah, Mar, then the explanation is the answer to the Manishtan. It's the answer. And everything that you say until then, mitchila of the avodah zara, and avodah minu lefaray, all of that is just painting a background, a backdrop. We want to give you some background. Okay, let's explain the whole story. And now that you know the background, to now we're going to tell you the answer. You tell your children, I can't give you an answer on the spot. I have to first paint a picture. I got to give you some background information. And when you have the background, now we're going to give you the answer. And what is the answer? The answer is, you answer matzah. You tell them, you explain matzah, zusha, noichla. And you explain to them about maror. Very good. Marazu. Matzah, zu, marazu. Wonderful. What about the other two questions? Why are you eating the matzah, misubin? And why are you dipping the moror in the chareises? So the answer to that, that's not so explicit. You have to search a little bit deeper to really find exactly where it is. But you, when you demonstrate chayrus, basically, this, I'm telling you what he says. I want to hear an important point. The way you demonstrate, the way you eat the matzah, why are we doing a seva? That's really why you need the background. Because the way we eat the matzah, the seba, it's chayrus.
So Avodim Hayinu is not the real answer?
Avodim Hayinu, no, Rabbi Belsky says that Avodim Hayinu...
It's an introduction.
Introduction, yes. The answer is, look, there are four questions. The first question is matzah. The second question is maror. So when you say matzah zu, that's the answer to the first question. When you say maror zu, that's the answer to the second question. What about everything we said until now? That was an introduction. That's giving you background information. What about the dipping?
Why do you need it
then? Well, you need it because you can't. If you just say matzah zu, it's not going to work. It's not going to make it. It's not going to be appreciated. That itself is a profound lesson in the Haggadah. When a child asks you a question, you just don't give an answer in three words. You have to give him a flavor of what the answer means. You need to give all the background information. You just can't give an answer like that. Exactly, that's part of the lesson to a parent. When a child has a question, you don't just give him a three-word answer. You have to go and give him the entire background to appreciate the answer. What about the other two questions? The other two questions is, the answer is chayrus. Dipping is an expression of only free men dip. Okay, that needs more explanation, which we're out of time now. Dipping is chayrus. And Heseba is Cheirus. When you recline, it's Cheirus. Now that we left Egypt, we're free men, we're doing these things as an expression of Cheirus. Now here's what I want to add. There are two Girsois. What are you supposed to do the night of Pesach? There are two Girsois. Girs number one, Chayev Adam Leroy Sesatzma. Girs of the Rambam, Chayev Adam Leharoy Sesatzma. So I want to suggest to you that dipping is a kiyum of lirois es atzmai. Heseba is a fulfillment of laharois es atzmai. When you dip, you are behaving like a free man. Only free, wealthy aristocrats would have dips and would dip their food in all these condiments. But guess what? No one's watching you. No one can care less what you're doing. When you're dipping, you are fulfilling lirois es atzmai. When you sit and eat beheseba, that is noticeable. I'll prove it to you. They have a lot of murals and tapestries all over the world of the ancient people sitting, reclining in this fashion. When you recline, your children see you recline, that is an expression of laharois es atzma. It's a demonstration of cheirus. There's lirois es atzmai and there's laharois es atzma. They don't show on these ancient murals and tapestries and all these things where they depict how aristocrats would behave in ancient times. They don't show them dipping their food. That's not what they show. Dipping your food is what you do for yourself. Leroy says that's my. To demonstrate to other people, you know who I am. I'm a free man. I'm a melech. You recline. Heseba is laharois. Present yourself to other people as being a ben chayrin. So there are four questions. The first question is maror. First matzah, then is maror. What's the answer? The answer is matzah zu. The answer to the second question is maror zu. The next question is, why, daddy, are you doing lirois es atzmai? And why are you doing laharois es atzmai? To that, maybe you can answer. Maybe you can suggest, Mr. Rappaport, is maybe that's really the hakdama. Really, when you say avod minu lefaroi, and we left Egypt, and as far as the other part of the Haggadah of mitchilo oiv de'avoy the zorah hayam saying the achshav kervan amakum lavodosai, we're free men. Maybe we can go weiter. You can say even deeper. When you talk about avodim hayinu lefaro, we were slaves, and now we left. That's more of laharos. We're no longer slaves. We no longer live in Egypt. We live in our own country. That's a laharos. When you talk about mitchilo oiv de'avoy de'zara, That's liroi sesatzmo. Look at your own neshama. Look how different you are. So the truth is, we do answer all questions. The first two questions are matzah and marav, that we answer explicitly. But I'm trying to break this down into two girsois. They had tzvei dinim, like a briska. They had tzvei dinim in the Lel Pesach. There's a din of liroi sesatzmoi, and there's in laharoi sesatzmoi. The tibul is liroi sesatzmoi. The hesebos laharoi sesatzmoi. The liroi sesatzmoi corresponds to avodim hoyinu lefaroi. We were slaves, and now we're free men. That's laharois. That's laharois. That's an external manifestation. The liroi sesatzma is the pnimius, the ruchnius. That's mitchilo ovi avoyde zoro ovi avsein ovi ashav kevenu lavodosai. That's the liroi sesatzma. Okay, Rabbi Sai, thank you so much for coming. Have a wonderful night. Be well, everyone.
Okay.
Take care.
Thank you.
Good night, Rabbi Sai. Good night. Mr. Ms. Glad, have a good night. Thank you for coming. Good night. Be well. Be well. Good night. Good night.
Sorry, we have some music. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Take care. Have a good night. Be well. Be well. Be well. Be well. Be well. Be well.